Blog Talk Radio.
All right, y'all. Y'all come on into the circle. Welcome to the Lawyer Henderson podcast show. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Everybody come on in. Peace and love, family. We are having difficulties coming in on YouTube, but we're trying to get it done. Yes, indeed. How is everybody today? I hope everybody's doing good. Yes, indeed. Yep, we got a lot of things to talk about today on the Lawyer Henderson Show. And just bear with me, ladies and gentlemen. And trying to get everything. How's everybody? While we're waiting to get in live, ladies and gentlemen, go ahead and hit that like button. Hit that subscribe button. Let people know that we are in the building. We should have already in the building. Yes, indeed. How's everybody doing? Come on in, love. Come on in. Watching and listening to the Lawyer Henderson podcast show. Come on in, y'all. Come on in. Oh, my God, man. Okay. Yes, indeed. How's everybody? We got a lot to unpack here. Then we talked about the Supreme Court nominee, Amy Coney Barrett. And we also going to be talking about a little bit more about the Ice Cube contract with Black America. And we also, family, going to be talking about Daniel Cameron and his lying of the Breonna Taylor's case, where he basically lied on the jurors. Don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, my book, Foolish American Politics, Let's Discuss the Issues, is at Barnes & Noble's. It's online wherever videos and, books are sold, whether it be Barnes & Noble's or Books A Million, Walmart, every place. Go and check out Foolish American Politics. Don't forget to hit that thumbs up button. And we will also have the link where you can also, contribute to the podcast as well. We'll have that later on once you review the video again. So go ahead and hit that thumbs up button if you're on live. And don't forget to subscribe to my channel. So the Lawyer Henderson Show is live. We'll go ahead and play the music here so it can be official. That's the number to call in. We're going to be talking about the Supreme Court nominee of Amy Coney Barrett. We're going to also talk to you about what is the issue with the Supreme Court nominee. We'll go in talking about Kentucky Attorney General Daniel Cameron. Cameron, the judge, released his or her decision today on the fact that Daniel Cameron, that the one of the members of the jurors who basically broke his silence, and then there's another juror who said that they're going to also basically wants to say, show reveal that basically Daniel Cameron did not even say anything about murder charges when he presented them the evidence against a police officer in the grand jury decision. We'll be talking about that, ladies and gentlemen. The number to call in is 516-418-5867, 516-418-5867. Also, we'll talk a little bit more about Ice Cube's contract with Black America and what that is all about. Remember, we didn't get a chance to get all of it down yesterday. Him and D.L. Hughley. Well, D.L. Hughley said some stuff, man, and D.L. Hughley is, you know, he, like I said, he was right in a lot of stuff about experts, but D.L. Hughley has been riding for the Democrats for a long time. I mean, let's just call it what it is. D.L. Hughley is a part of that old school Negro, you know, stuff. You know, he's been riding with the Democrats for a long, long time. I mean, that's no change in D.L. Hughley. He's going to always ride with the Democrats. Even though the Democrats ain't done a damn thing for his people, he's going to always roll with the Democratic Party. Okay? What's up, love? Yeah, I'm good. Thank you for asking. The number to call in is 516-418-5867. 516-418-5867. That's the call-in number for the Lawyer Henderson Show. Ladies and gentlemen, I am sorry I came on a little bit late. I was basically, we had some technical difficulties, and plus I had taken myself a little nap because I had just got back and did some stuff, man. And so just bear with me on here. The Lawyer Henderson Show is live on Twitter. We are live on Facebook. We are also live on YouTube. And go ahead and hit that thumbs up button, hit that like button, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel as well. Lawyer Henderson, /YouTube.com. Go ahead and hit that like button, subscribe to the channel, okay? The number to call in is 516-418-5867, 516-418-5867. That's the number to call in to the Lawyer Henderson podcast show. Yes, yes, yes. All right, so let's get on into it. Remember I was telling y'all about Ice Cube contract with Black America. Ice Cube had basically... remember yesterday we started out just talking or going over a little bit of Ice Cube thing, contract with Black America, but we did not go through all of it. But I wanted to do that a little bit real quick. He also, in his, let's start out here where he says, number one, bill to guarantee Black opportunity of representation. Adopt a plan of neo-reconstruction to redress past wrong systematically imposed on Black American economically throughout many generations that has resulted in a wealth gap where the average white family has 10 times wealth of Black family. In addition, and to some of the economic initiatives listed below, also formally apologize to Black America for past discrimination and slavery. Additionally, Black opportunities and representation will include affirmative action in school, public, private, and per student funding state and equal basis instead of paid by local property taxes. Black representation on all government civil rights bodies and civil rights classes mandatory to in elementary school, gender mandatory reform, additional polling places in Black and minority neighborhoods, Juneteenth to become a federal holiday. Now, folks, family, this is where there really need to be experts right here, because the ideal is that I'm with Cube. You know, that's my man. You know what I'm saying? He basically, you know, like I said, he grew up with my favorite rapper, Eazy-E. You know, Eazy is gone. I'm rocking with Cube on a lot of things. But it is fair to say that there needs to be more expert to talk there about the reparations movement. Okay, the reparations movement is really a huge comprehensible concept as far as what happened to us as people. In my book, Foolish American Politics, I also offer some things about slavery. That bank lending, there's no such thing as bank lending reform. Okay, white people control the banks, and even when we have so-called black banks, Amos Wilson taught us that even black banks will basically destroy our chances of getting a bank to then give us a loan. Okay, so that's where we got to get experts to say, no, this is not about giving us any kind of loans, but this is about giving us our reparations. See, our reparations will take care of everything that he's saying. But his number two paragraph is bank lending reform. He said bank lending will be regulated to require banks to lend a percentage of all loans in credit categories on equal basis to the black population each bank serves. However, the minimum threshold must really meet the percentage equal to the national black population, currently approximately 13.4% rate on black loans federally and from banks, to be same average rates as whites. Okay. Now, he also goes on to talk about federally funded baby bonds, which then suggests or provides that past federal programs provided every child with a government funding trust account at birth starting at $1,000 contribution. A proposed by Senator Booker and Representative Presley accounts to be managed by the Treasury, and only those born into lower wealth families would receive more contributions each year, up to $46,000 total. As age 18, access to the fund allows to put use restriction to assess enhancing actions such as buying homes, starting business, and funding education. Now, him and Antonia Moore met about these berry bonds, and while I believe that it's an okay deal, it really, $1,000 really don't present us with a real financial relationship as far as when we get to 18 years old. If there's no interest occurring as far on the baby bond, how much that money will be prior to us becoming 18, if there's interest growing. Like I said, reparations will take care of all of this. There's no need for the white bank who have been discriminating against black folks. There's no really need for them to come out, because, hey, we will have reparations, and reparations will deal with all of the issues that we're having in the black community. And, you know, we just have to keep that in mind. The number to call in is 516-418-5867, 516-418-5867. That's something that we basically, you know, wanted to also go into talking about, that Ice Cube plan really, it does not really deals with the issue of race to a certain extent. I know what he's trying to do is basically trying to, you know, to close the wealth gap, as what he says. But in order to close the wealth gap, you know, as Tom Tucks taught, said, is that reparations is needed. There's no other way around it. None of the programs that he's offering, anything of that nature, is to help us get a wealth close gap. Reparations is the only thing that will help us close the race gap. Okay. All right. So that's what I wanted to wrap up on. I know that we spent some time on it yesterday, but I was upset with D.L. Hughley, man. I really just got mad at him. I didn't want him to drag our brother Ice Cube all in the mud, man, and talk about experts. And like I said, you know, he's right that experts should be at the table, like Dr. Claude Anderson and others. But, you know, he could have did it in a way into which it is not controversial, because then it make it seem like that you're basically out here on white folks' team. You're on team white supremacy when you outcall another black man. Because Q have been very much respected in our community. And y'all know that, like I said, I rock with my boy Q. Okay. But yeah, man, I wish he would have mentioned reparation. And he might do, because I haven't read everything. But that's what we were having problems with. The reparation was not on the table. Joe Biden was talking about giving reparations, but the Native Americans have to also get it. So that's the last we heard from Slightly Joe Jim Crow. Talk about reparations, y'all. Okay. So let's get into it. Next on our list, we're talking about a state attorney general, Kentucky State Attorney General Daniel Cameron. He obviously lied to the grand jury. I am so tongue-tied here tonight. But he lied to the to us about what the grand jury decision was. Like we said last time on the Lawyer Henderson Show, that he never present to us, I mean, I'm sorry, to the jury, he never present them with murder charges in the Breonna Taylor's case. And so now he has basically been given a blow, and that blow is that now the judge rule that, hey, if the jurors want to speak about this process, they allowed to. It's the secrecy that we've been basically having too long. When grand juries are not presented with the facts, they're now coming up glued. The white supremacists can no longer hide behind secrecy, y'all, because if the judge is ruling that, you know, that we should have transparency of what happened behind closed doors, as far as the jurors, I mean, about what they're presenting, what the attorneys and district attorneys and, you know, the attorney generals are permitting, I mean, are talking about behind closed doors, then now it becomes a little bit hard, you know, ladies and gentlemen, for them to lie and say that they presented all the evidence they can. Now we're finding out that, of course, that the Attorney General Daniel Cameron, that he basically did not present murder charges, that he lied about presenting murder charges, and you had this narrative. Remember, we had this narrative from Jeffrey Toobin. That, the people just don't want to see the police in trouble. They just don't want to punish the police. And now the people are making it very clear. Yes, we want the police to go to jail. We even want them beat up in jail. You know, there was a police officer who got beat up in jail, I think in Chicago. I forget this man's name. But they actually do want the police arrested. They do want them charged, and they do want them in jail. So this, a lot of this white male splaining that we got here is about I'm white and I say so. Now we are uncovering what the grand jurors are basically was presented with and Breonna Taylor's case. And so before we get into more of that, because we actually our main topic is on Amy Coney Barrett, so I just want to dive a little bit into it. But first, what I wanted to do is I wanted to read you all some things that people were saying about of Daniel Cameron. Don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, while we are getting the feed, to hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, and also don't forget to hit the like button. Remember Megan Thee Stallion, and use some comments made by our great sister Tamika Mallory about Daniel Cameron being this sellout Negro. There's a lot of people now calling him a sellout Negro. He sacrificed the life of a black woman. Basically, the ideal here is that you don't basically give black folks justice. That's what this country is about. You know, giving black folks justice, that's just something that we just don't do. And, you know, you had Vice President Mike Pence, you know, talking about, well, you know, not a, no, some kind of racial issues going on in the United States. Yeah. And systemic racism just don't exist, you see. These people are just downright in denial. And AG Attorney Daniel Cameron, his office know that he was a liar. You know, they know that they were lying. But the root goes on. I'm going to get our sources. This is a claimer, disclaimer, rather, to make sure that when we do read anybody's post, that our disclaimer for doing so is strictly because of information. And we have always read our disclaimers, or we basically, want y'all to understand that, you know, we're reading from a Root magazine, so that disclaimer that this is not our material, but we are basically borrowing it so that we can get information out to clarify the grand jury's decision. Now, the judge ruled against Daniel Cameron, will allow Breonna Taylor grand jurors to talk about indictment process. Okay? So now we got the grand jurors can speak. The article goes on to say that Kentucky judge has sided with the anonymous grand juror, ruling that members of the grand jury can speak freely about proceedings in the Breonna Taylor's case because it's ultimately served the interests of all citizens to have confidence in the integrity of the justice system. Ah. Okay. Even though that there's no integrity in the judicial system already, we're going to get to that a little bit more into it as we go on into our show here today. Don't forget to like the button, subscribe to the YouTube channel as we go on. Kentucky Attorney General Daniel Cameron has vowed to keep jurors' silence on the proceedings after releasing 15 hours of recording earlier this month. Cameron, serving as a special prosecutor in the Taylor's case, argued that allowing grand jurors to talk about the process will irreversibly alter Kentucky's legal system by making it difficult for prosecutors and the public to have confidence in the secrecy of the grand jury process going forward, Cameron said. He filed a motion on October the 8th in an attempt to keep the process secret. But Jefferson County Circuit Judge Annie O'Connell, who handed down her decision Tuesday afternoon, saw it differently. There exists additional interests to consider in making this decision. The interest of citizens of the Commonwealth of Kentucky to be assured that its publicly elected officials are being honest in their representation. The interest of grand jurors whose service is compelled to be certain their work is not mischaracterized by the very prosecutors on whom they rely to advise them, and the interest of all citizens to have confidence in the integrity of the justice system, O'Connell wrote, according to CNN. Now, let's stop right there in that particular situation. We right now don't have no kind of fairness, I mean, no type of trust in a judicial system. The judicial system in this country should be torn apart because there's no trust in the legal system. So even if a judge wrote that, hey, we're going to allow the grand jurors to speak, please don't say that to allow integrity, just like y'all really care about the integrity of the court system. The court system has no integrity. We already know about these folks, man. And Daniel Cormoran, well, he's been hanged out dry now. His white buddies are hanging him out to dry. Now, is Becky, his wife, going to leave him if he basically is arrested and charged? This man lied to us. And now he's trying to say, well, see, we got to keep this grand jury secrecy like it is, because, see, people will say, well, you know, the process of the secrecy. Why is the public being nosy? The people who are interested in what you did, Daniel Cormoran, you lied about the grand jury's decision not to indict these three thugs in the Breonna Taylor's case. And then the ideal here is, Daniel Cormoran, you were the ones who said, well, it's just hard to indict. Remember, if Kenneth Walker wouldn't have shot, you know, Breonna Taylor would still have been alive. That's the same foolish argument that Sergeant Mattingly said in his interview. And we're going to play that here, right here in just a moment, that he basically was interviewed on a news station, I think it was ABC, and his interview stinks. And so it was a lot of white splaining. But let's go ahead and listen to it.
Her death sparked nationwide outrage and anguish.
Absolutely.
26-year-old medical worker Breonna Taylor shot and killed by Louisville police officers shortly after midnight on March 13th while executing a search warrant. Officers investigating a suspected drug operation allegedly linked to her ex-boyfriend. This morning, for the first time, Sergeant John Mattingly sharing publicly what he says happened that night. So we get up. I remember banging on the door. It's open hand.
Now watch this. This is a lot of white explaining here.
Just hoping she would come to the door. So
hoping she would come to the door.
Come out. Can you hear anything from inside the apartment?
Not at that point.
So after the first bang, nothing happened. I banged again. I yelled.
Y'all hear this lie?
Search warrant. You're yelling this.
How many times do you yell that?
Probably three times each.
Probably three times each.
There's a total of
a lot of white male explaining.
Things, six different knocks at the door while we're doing
six
that.
Different knocks.
There were seven officers on the scene.
Seven officers
one
on the scene.
One said he
thought
he heard movement inside the apartment. He said, stop. I can hear somebody coming up the door. So we stopped. We listened. Nobody said anything. We yell again, please search warrant. Open the door if you're there. Please search warrant. And finally, I look back at my lieutenant, who's in the stack back here. He goes, go ahead and hit it.
Even as you're hitting the door with
young
rams,
you're yelling.
Yes. Everybody at this point.
Everybody.
Because that's what we
all seven of
all seven. That I know of. It sounded like it. That's the typical how it goes every
time. He said that's the typical of how it goes every time. That is not true. That is not true. Look, folks, he said that, I hope y'all heard that, he said that's the typical how it is, that his lieutenant says go ahead and go inside the home, and then everybody starts shooting. And that's not how y'all do white folks. When it's white folks, y'all basically call in the SWAT team. Y'all get geared up, and y'all go and bring a hostage negotiator. Now, he just sat there and said it. This is typically how it's done. Oh, y'all just go in and shoot everybody. It's what you're saying is typically how it is. This sergeant already started the interview lying. Hey, that's not typical how y'all done. It's typically how y'all do black folks. This is typically how y'all do it. The ideal here is that y'all don't do this for white people. Y'all make sure that despite the fact of how they're talking crazy to y'all, y'all never end up shooting the white people. A lot of white-splaining here. Now, let's continue to talk more about this. Somebody make it make sense to me.
And that doesn't change. Kenneth Walker said that he and Brianna were screaming, "Who is it?" So they never heard any announcement that it was the police. And what do you say to that? Maybe he didn't. But there are also 11 neighbors who said the same thing that he said. Those 11 neighbors also said we did not. Kenneth Walker says we knocked. The other witness says we knocked. So if you didn't hear us knock, you're not going to hear us now. Maddenly says once the team enters the dark apartment, he sees two figures in the hallway. How far away is it? About 20, 25 feet? Probably, yeah, 20, 25 feet. And as soon as I turned the corner, my eyes went straight to the barrel of this gun. I could see the tip of it.
Okay.
I was just focused in on it. Brianna's boyfriend, 27-year-old Kenneth Walker.
Stop that. Stop there. Stop. See. He said then he can literally see the barrel of the gun. That's what he said. Okay, so you walk in a hallway. You walk in this dark hallway, and you see his gun. And family, I'm just trying to make sense of this. Because, see, they took so long for them to get interviewed here. And now they're trying to make it make sense, but it still don't make sense. Family, it still don't make sense. He said he worked at he saw the Kenneth gun at the end of the hallway. Don't make sense. Now let's continue with this white-splaining, what white people like to do, especially white men. They like to white-splain a lot of stuff away when they kill a black person.
Legal gun owner fired a shot. Later telling investigators he fired because he didn't know who was bursting through the door. An FBI ballistics report saying it was Walker's bullet that struck Mattingly. As soon as I felt the smack on my leg and the heat, I boom, 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 four shots. From start to finish, from the time I got shot till the time I'm on the ground and heard that last volley of shots, 12 seconds total.
I don't know what's happening. Somebody hit the door and shot my girlfriend.
Where was she shot at?
I don't know.
Okay. Now, that's what Kenneth Walker's version he's on the phone with the operator. He said somebody kicked in his door, his girlfriend's door. Okay. So Kenneth is on the phone with the operator saying somebody kicked in the door. So Sergeant Mattingly's story don't add up. How did you see the man with the gun unless you just look in the window and say, okay, yeah, he got a gun. Let's go inside. This is not making no sense. You all had the wrong information, and the person y'all was looking for was already in custody. And y'all just don't go and do this to white people. Y'all don't do this to white folks. When y'all go and try to serve a search warrant to white people's house, y'all make sure that y'all call in negotiators and basically make sure that the white folks are taken care of. You don't have to sit there and have a shootout with them and kill them and just aimlessly just shoot all into the home. And then on top of that, you go into the crime scene where you just shot somebody so that you can make sure that you can get your story straight. Yeah, you didn't say the ideal that you know, Michael Stratton, I hope I'm saying his name right, the host, he didn't talk about the ideal that they went into a crime scene after they shot and killed. They didn't have enough time to go and redress because, hey, it was already on the radio and a squad was coming there as well. So they went and entered the crime scene to cover their tracks. so they can later do a lot of white-splaining like they're doing now. You see? I'm telling you, they don't believe in that black folks' life is valuable here. They don't believe it. They will white-splain away a lot of stuff. And you got to be able to understand this. Let's continue here.
On the grill right now, I don't know.
Mr. Walker said, I just fired a warning shot. I thought someone was breaking into my apartment. I was aiming down because I don't want to kill anyone. That was his statement. He wasn't shooting at the ground, a warning shot. He's pushed out with two hands, looking straight at me. I saw his gun. Our postures were the same, looking at each other when he fired that shot. Only one officer was wearing a body camera during the execution of the warrant that night. But it wasn't turned on because Madelink said it wasn't police procedure in these types of situations.
Okay. There again. See, this is the thing, family. Nobody had a body cam of one person. They told that officer, cut the body camera off. You see what I'm saying? These folks are lying. They knew that they went to their home with the attempt of killing and murder. That's what they did. And then, they went into the crime scene after they just shot and killed somebody so that they could basically do a lot of things to the crime scene and to make sure that their story stick. People know that Sergeant Madeley is doing a lot of white splaining. This dude literally said, we don't have the body cam. It's not necessary for us to wear it in these type of situations. You're serving a no-knock warrant, which is crazy when you don't identify yourself. These things have always happened, but they've always happened only to black folks. But let's continue for him, listening to him white splain a lot of stuff here.
Do you believe if you had body cameras, this wouldn't have happened?
No, the incident would still happen. But it would have been shown on camera what happened. This wouldn't be an issue. This wouldn't be a case. You'd never hear about it. Michael Strahan would never know about this case if they had cameras on that night.
How would you have done it differently if you could have?
We would have either served the no-knock warrant or we would have done the normal thing we do, which is 5 to 10 seconds, to not give people time to formulate a plan, not give people time to get their senses so they have an idea of what they're doing. Because if that had happened, I'm telling you, Mike, if that had happened, Brown Taylor would be alive.
No. What y'all do is y'all have a strategy for when y'all go after white folks versus when y'all go after black people. You look at the neighborhood, you say, this is a black community, so that we have to go in and start shooting, and we don't care what people say, we're not going to get shot at no more. We're going to just start spraying bullets. A lot of white splaining. Okay? Like I said, they were shooting aimlessly everywhere in the house. That's what they were doing. And yet, the reason why he did not wear his body cam and the reason why they didn't have it turned on is because they didn't want us to see the truth. And the truth is they lied. They went in there and started shooting aimlessly after just one shot. They didn't call for nobody else. They didn't call them, say that they were the police. They didn't say anything about, well, let's wait for the squad team to get here because we heard some shots. They did none of that because their idea was to go there, shoot to kill. And now they're trying to dress it all up because there is no body cams for us to see ourselves. So he's a liar.
You believe she'd be a liar? 100% happened. If you had just stormed in,
yes,
and not given them time, I do.
Say her name.
In the months following, protests erupted across the country. Celebrities like Oprah and Beyonce.
And let's just talk about Oprah right quick. Oprah was not interested in this case. She's trying to get her black card back. Oprah took out 26 billboards in the efforts of trying to pretend like she shows some sympathy. Family, when you are a bed witch and a long-time mammy of the white male structure, you can't pretend to the black race that you basically is for this woman. Oprah is there in Chicago where there's a lot of black folks who need help, and she did not come to their rescue on. Oprah is a sad case, along with her and Phil King. Both of them is a disgrace to their own community. Oprah, no one has not respected Oprah. We don't even know why the white media is still talking about her. She then connivingly put Breonna Taylor's picture on her magazine that was not selling. Nobody cares for her no more. Nobody's buying her worthless piece of crap magazine no more. So this was an opportunity to get her some type of publicity. Oh, I'm going to take out 26 ads on a billboard to try to get people to believe that I'm doing something. Folks, we know that when you're strategizing with the white supremacists, we know what you're doing. We're not stupid. We talk about all of this all the time in the grassroots movement and effort. Oprah, you basically is a fool. You are my mammy and you're a bed wench. You and stale, fail king. I don't even know why Michael Stranton even mentioning y'all name. You're a disgrace to your own family. You're a disgrace to black women in general. Somebody talk black to me. But let's continue this white male explaining. The number to call in is 516-418-5867. 516-418-5867. But we're going to continue with this line from Sergeant Jonathan Madden.
Calling for the officers involved to be arrested and be criminally charged with Breonna's death. What was your feelings watching all that unfold after this? Mostly frustration. The frustration came from our command and from the mayor's office because there was so much disinformation out. Because this is not relatable to George Floyd. This is nothing like it. It's not a Ahmaud Arbery. It's nothing like it. These are two totally different type incidences.
Well, who said that they was the same? You see, this is the same thing that white people like to do. They think that racism is basically doesn't exist. At first, they basically try to present that, oh, no. What happened to George Floyd? Oh, yeah, that was racist. But what happened to what you did was racist also because, like I just said earlier, you did not even basically call the SWAT team in. You did not have negotiators. You didn't have bullhorns. You didn't have anything to help to assist and trying to make sure that nobody gets shot that day. You just came in there wanting to shoot somebody because they're black.
Not a race thing.
It is a race
People
thing.
People want to try to make it to be. This is a point yes, where we're doing
is.
Our job.
You wasn't doing
too
your
much
job.
Time. When we go in, Line when I get
ads.
Shot, we
this, see, this is the reason why
this
people don't. This right here is the reason why people don't trust Popo.
Like and I know I'm not.
That's the reason why people do not trust the police. What he just basically said and did right there, this is the reason why people cannot trust the police. Somebody talk black to me now. We cannot trust the police because the police keep on lying. This white male explaining is pathetic. But let's listen to the rest of this crap.
I'm going to sit here and act like playing the big victim card. But, I mean, I was a victim in this as well. My family has been a victim in this.
So?
They have had to go on hiding. They have had death.
So, good.
When somebody sits back from their mansion and accuses somebody they don't know of being a racist.
You are racist.
Being a dirty cop.
You are a dirty cop.
When
you're corrupt.
The case,
you're a corrupt cop.
That does affect you.
You and all of your little sidekick racists. KKK members.
Do you think there is a racist divide between the community and the LAPD? I think there are people who stir things up and make it more that. Because when you're dealing with criminal element, you know, you talk about racial profiling. Good police, anyway, police I've worked with don't racial profile.
criminal profile. Let's address the fact that just because you're black, you're a threat. It's not the case.
Yeah.
Well, that's how black men feel. That's how black women feel. But does that make it real?
Yes, it is
real. Because you feel then it's real.
It is real, dude.
No, not necessarily.
Oh, that's
what is
dude.
The difference
here.
Between
you see how he try to white explain everything. Oh, it's not a reality. It's not a reality for y'all because, as Joe Biden said, if you were white, then you wouldn't be getting racial profiling. People know that, man. This man is playing games, man. This man is playing games with us, family. This dude know racial profiling exists in the black neighborhoods. They don't exist in the white neighborhoods. Neither do the black cops even go into that neighborhood and harass them because they know they'll be fired, man. Come on, man. Let's stop this playing. Enough of talking about that clown, and I don't even want to play no more because this fool is stupid. And because he's later going to give some old asinine apology to Breonna Taylor's mom. I don't even want to play that crap. But to wrap up here, it says that O'Connell argued that the traditional justification for secrecy in this matter are no longer relevant and that the ends of the justice require disclosure. Cameron Kilmeron also argued that allowing grand jurors to speak could compromise former Louisville Metro Police Officer Brett Hankison's rights to a fair trial. Hankison was the only person charged in a connection of the police raid and to the 26-year-old Taylor's apartment, but not for causing her death. His three counts of wanton endangerment were based on shots that were fired from outside Taylor's home, causing a danger to her neighbors, which, of course, were white. Judge O'Connor noted, however, that Hankison himself didn't join Kumaran's argument or request to be heard in court, and thus could not find that this concern infounded in reality. Sergeant Jonathan Madeline and Detective Miles Cosgrove, both of whom fired shots that struck and killed Taylor, were not charged with any crime and remain on the LMPD force. You see, these are corrupt cops. But family, they're going to do what they're going to do. These are corrupt cops. That's exactly what they are. They're corrupt cops. I don't even want to even talk more about this. All right, so, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be taking your calls in a moment. The number to call in is, of course, 516-418-5867. 516-418-5867. All right, so we got this judge from the Circuit Court of Appeal, I think it's the Seventh Circuit, Amy Coney Barrett, who is going to be confirmed. And we already know that everybody that they basically, everybody that these people have basically, the president has basically nominated, they've been confirmed. Despite their record and despite everything. The thing about it here is that we talk so much about the lies and the issue here. And we know that people across the country know about Supreme Court decisions. Dr. Claude Anderson came on, and remember, he said that the Supreme Court has never, ever ruled in favor of black folks since the Brown versus Board of Education back in 1964. And we see, ladies and gentlemen, that they will never, ever, ever give us justice. They are undermining us right now with our tangibles. They're doing all they can, ladies and gentlemen, to basically undermine the ideal of any fair justice in the country. And so Trump's nominee and appointment, Amy Coney Barrett, is just another way of expanding white supremacy and white female supremacy. But I want to talk about Kamala Harris claiming that she's going to oppose Amy Coney Barrett's Supreme Court confirmation. Let's take a listen.
It has been an accelerator. We're looking at a situation where over 30 million Americans had to apply for unemployment insurance, many of whom, again, did not have paid sick leave, did not have paid family leave. And they're trying to push through a Supreme Court nominee in what I call an illegitimate process. Because, by the way, we're not talking about election season. We're not talking about election year. We're talking about an election that is taking place right now where over 20 million Americans have voted, and the election will be over in 13 days, and the majority of the American people are saying, let the American people decide who will be their president. And then that is the person who should decide who will fill a lifetime appointment to the highest court in our land.
Okay. So she's speaking in Asheville something. But and the thing about it is that white people are not going to give us justice. Here's the thing. When you talk about Amy Barrett, Coney Barrett, who right now currently set on the U.S. Courts of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit, folks, people, we already know that Trump is going to win again, and why are we playing this game in politics as if, you know, that Kamala Harris is going to basically object to this nominee? They're all in cahoots with each other, man. They're all in cahoots with each other. It doesn't matter about, you know, what Amy Barrett is about. And that the Supreme Court is already conservative. It's already moved far to the right. It's already a destructor and a destroyer of real, true evidence that justice is never going to be handed down for us. And we know that. So just making Amy Coney Barrett another appointee, you're expanding white supremacy. That's all you're doing. There's an article from FaithWire that says Amy Coney Barrett responds to cruel professor who called her a white colonizer for adopting black kids. Towards the end of the day of two Senate confirmation hearings for President Donald Trump's Supreme Court nominee, Judge Amy Coney Barrett, Senator John Kennedy, asked the seasoned jurist who adopted two children from Haiti to respond to a claim from a far-left professor who called her and her husband, Jesse, white colonizers who used their kids as props. In his Twitter thread in late September, Professor Ibrahim X. Kendi, author of How to Be an Anti-Racist, called the Barretts white colonizers, using their two Haitian children props and their lifelong pictures of denial, while cutting the biological parents of these children out of the picture of humanity. That's what Kendi said. Kendi added another tweet, writing, "It does not point whether Barrett's fit neatly into his broad stroke assertions, because white people generally believe if they adopt or have a child of color, then they can't be racist." Well, he's right about that. But let's take a listen here to when Senator John Kennedy asked the question to Judge to Judge Amy Coney Barrett about the professor's remarks.
All right, I want to finish this housekeeping because I want to talk about the law. I want to give you a chance to respond to something.
I gave you a chance to respond
some
to something.
Some butthead professor at Boston University.
At Boston University.
Says that because you and your husband have two children of color.
Two children of color.
That you're a white colonist. The implication is that you're a racist.
You're a racist.
And that you use your two children as props.
She do. She do. She
do. You use your children as props.
Yes, she is.
Senator Kenny, it was the risk of people saying things like that, which would be so hurtful to my family, that when I told Senator Graham this morning that my husband and I had to really weigh the cost of this, it was saying deeply offensive and hurtful things, things that are not only hurtful to me, but are hurtful to my children, who are my children, who we love, and who we brought home and made part of our family. And accusations like that are cruel.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, they are, aren't they?
How low can you go?
Well, I'll tell you how low you can go. You can go low about basically having a Supreme Court decision where a lot of you all are racist. A lot of the people you've already got on there are racist. A lot of y'all who, as Dr. Claude Anderson points out, have never, ever, ever done anything that relates to black folks to the Supreme Court. And this Judge Amy Coney Barrett would be no different just because she basically adopted two black Haitian kids, as white folks like to do. You want to talk about how you're treating black kids when you adopt them? You just go and look at Charlize Theron and how she got her kids talking about, oh, they want to be transsexual, and these kids are 7 or 8 years old. White people do not do anything but basically try to get this transsexual and spread this transsexual and sexual confusion and confusion in the black community. That's one of their reasons of adopting black kids, to spread sexual confusion at a very young age. This is the same thing that Dwayne Wade and Gabrielle Union is doing. They're trying to basically say that kids want to be, want to be transsexual. A girl want to be a lesbian, a young boy want to be a gay dude at 7, 8, 12 years old. This is foolishness. This is ignorant. And this is the reason. This is the reason why this Amy Barrett basically is why she adopted these kids. Their ideal is to use them as props and basically to show, oh, I can't be a racist because I got black kids. Nah, a lot of racists do a lot of things. Come on, folks. White men who are racist love to have sex with black women. Even though they call them all kind of nigger bitches, that's what they love to do. But yet they show their racism right there in the relationship. You know, you got a lot of bad wenches out here who basically say, well, I love white daddy, and white daddy been good to me, and white daddy bought me all the presents. So it starts out good. And then when it goes on down, further down into the relationship, she get called all kinds of nigger bitches. You understand? And like I said, I'm going to come out with a book, ladies and gentlemen, called that I have. It's a working title about my experience with circuit courts. As you know, I'm a pro se plaintiff. I've been representing myself ever since I was 19 years old. I'm coming out with a working title I got here called That's My Name, Not My Profession, because my first name is lawyer. So it's called That's My Name, Not My Profession, How My Pro Se Case Got Destroyed by Rogue Judges.
And they was about to pick for the judgeship. before I get this, I forget her name, but they were about to pick this woman, Elizabeth, hold on, was it Elizabeth Branch? Elizabeth Branch was one of the, let's see, was it her? But yeah, she did my case. And her and William Pryor destroyed my case. And also, Britt Cagle Grant. And the civilrights.org organization opposed the confirmation of Britt Grant to the U.S. Courts of Appeal. She's only 40 years old and she was able to get to the Supreme Court of Georgia. You see what I'm saying? White people get a lot of opportunities when they're in their 20s, 30s, and 40s. Imagine somebody who's black besides Daya Kumaran. When they're in those positions, they have to always act like white folks, of course. But I don't see anything about the ideal that Britt Grant is a person that basically has experience on the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals, and that's what my book is going to talk about. Because in Henderson versus U.S. Securities and Associates, there was three judges: William Pryor, who was appointed by George W. Bush. You had two Trump's nominee. You had Britt Grant, and you had Elizabeth Branch. One of them was Trump's nominee, and I think it's this Britt Grant. Hold on, let me pull this up here. So y'all give me a minute. While we're waiting on this, don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube channel while we're waiting here to get this pulled up right here. Subscribe, hit that like button. Well, yeah, it was Cagle Grant. She was at first one of Trump's Supreme Court list of Georgia. Yeah, Judge Grant currently sits on the Atlanta-based 11th Circuit Courts of Appeals, and before she sat on the Georgia Supreme Court from 2017 to 2018. So she only sat on Georgia Supreme Court, which is the state Supreme Court, but just a year before she was picked by the to sit on the 11th Circuit Courts of Appeals. And so she was a clerk for Justice Brett Kavanaugh when he was the D.C. Appeals Court from 2007 to 2008. And then she was nominated by President Trump to serve as the 11th Circuit Court in 2018 and was confirmed in a 52-46 vote in July that year. Okay. And then they said that she was past served as the president of the Atlanta Chapter of Conservative Federalist Society and is considered a stellar conservative by groups such as the Heritage Foundation. You understand? So she would have not been no different from this Amy Coney Barrett woman. Okay? And all three of them, William Pryor and Britt Grant and Elizabeth Branch, they all three claims to be nonpartisan. No, you folks are conservative. When somebody like Bush pick you, somebody like Trump pick you, you're conservative. Don't say that you're nonpartisan. Like, you know, like Kevin Newsom said the same thing. I think that's his name. He is not partisan. He's partisan. You're conservative. You're conservative. Stop saying that you're nonpartisan. You're conservative. And Trump has been putting all of these white green extremist judges on the circuit courts, and he's doing so on the Supreme Court. This is to undermine civil rights, voting rights, all kinds of act like this woman did. And so this Amy Coney Barrett will be no different. Just because she's trouting her Haitian kids out there, folks, we know the game. We know the game. And they up there trying to be nice to them. The Democrats are being scared because they don't want to basically call this woman out just because she got black kids. Listen, we know why white people adopt black children. One of the main reasons they do so is to sexually confuse black kids. Folks, that's what they do. They sexually confuse them. Just like I said earlier about Charlize Theron, they basically adopt these kids from Africa and take them away from the original family, like this professor said, just to basically turn them into something that they don't want to be and they don't know about at a very young age. No child know about transsexual bathroom at 8, 9 years old. This is very disrespectful. And so therefore, man, this woman is a racist. She is a racist because basically she's fronting that she's the best person who can expound on white supremacy than this Judge Branch can or this Judge Grant, William Pryor, who also was on the short list of being Trump's appointee as well. And he is a real clown. This dude, see, these people undermine case law all the time. Like I said, my book that's coming out is going to detail how they screwed my case up. These folks are illegitimate in law. They're illegitimate. Why I can say that? Because I had experience with the same circuit judges. And Trump was about to pick Brick Kangle Grant, which she basically sat only on the Supreme Court of the state for a year. She got into my case after less than a year, and she basically already writing bad case law. She has seasoned judges sitting there disagreeing with her on a lot of issues like voting rights and other things. These people are here to undermine so-called democracy as if it was even had the attention for us to even have a fair democracy from the outstart. And these civil rights organizations are right to call them out that now the Supreme Court is going to go far left just like the 11th Circuit Courts of Appeals did when they made William Pryor now the chief judge there. Folks, we are dealing with a time of extreme measures. That's the reason why people are out in the streets and they're in the face of the enforcement arm of white supremacy, i.e. the police, is because this country is lost. This country is dealing with all kinds of racism and discrimination. And folks, you best believe that they are going to continue to operate savagely. You dig? They're going to continue to operate savagely. That's what they do. That's what they do. But the article goes on to say that it was the risk of people saying things like that, which would be so hurtful to my family. That's what I told Senator Graham this morning, that my husband and I had to really weigh the cost of this. It was saying deeply offensive and hurtful things, the Chicago judge told Kennedy, calling Kennedy's words things that not only hurtful to me, but are hurtful to my children, who are my children, who we love and who we brought home and made part of our family, end quote. Accusations like that, it's cruel, she concluded. yeah, they are Kennedy agreeing. How low can you go? Kennedy, for the, his part, doubled down Tuesday. He suggests those who are taking issues with his inflammatory words against Barrett are simply continuing to be racist and ignoring or denying that racist harms and call the people pointing them out hurtful and divisive. Okay? So the professor did speak out because they all have to gear that keep that line talking about that they're not, you know, that they're not really racist. They have to always keep play the game, if that's what I'm looking for. They have to always try to make it seem like that they're not. You understand? And we know they are. Folks, we're not dumb. We know that they are racist. Folks, I'm sorry this ad has gotten to us.
To make it.
Family, hold on. I'm trying to do something here. Family? But this is what we're saying here, man. Ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to like the button. Number to call is 516-418-5867. 516-418-5867, 516-418-5867. We're talking about the appointment or the nomination of Amy Coney Barrett. We're talking about the idea that she's trying to then block her black kids out so that they can make it seem like, oh, you know, the court is not going to be far to the left. You know, here's our black little Kenyan kids and, I'm sorry, Haitian kids over here, so we're not racist. Why do white people think that they just because they adopt black kids that they can't be racist? And remember, I've always taught you is that you don't have to say anything in front of black folks to be racist. All you have to do is just deny us resources, and that's what they've been doing with this benign and neglect policy. But, yeah, we were back here on the Lawyer Henson Show. We're talking about how the Supreme Court now is going to be too conservative. It's going to be extremely conservative. Now, you know, as Dr. Claude Anderson points out, the Supreme Court has never, ever, ever before never did anything in returns of black folks, and that's is the lip. It's just like what the president or Joe Biden, the vice president or who wants to become president, same thing here. We got to, you know, basically, our parents brought into this game for too long, and now some of us have also captured this craziness about white folks can't be racist just because they don't call you nigger. They can then basically take everything away. See, like I said, knocking down General Robert E. Lee's statues, they don't mean a damn thing, folks. What the hell does that mean? That don't mean nothing. But see, black folks think it means something because they believe that white folks are not racist just because they're not being called a nigger no more. No, they're not giving you resources. They're not giving you resources. Okay. Now let's take a listen to Al Sharpton. Talked about when
the least diverse audience I've ever seen an announcement like this made in my
Sorry.
I looked around. I was glad her two kids did come out because I mentioned that that was the least diverse audience I've ever seen an announcement like this.
Okay, so Al Sharpton
in my life. I looked around.
So Al Sharpton on September 26th. It was responding to that when Trump finally made his announcement about picking Amy Coney Barrett, that they he referred to the only two black folks sitting there into the Rose Garden when he made the announcement was her Amy Barrett Haitian kids, and I'm sorry it played before I could even tell you what the the excerpt was about. Let's go ahead and listen now.
I was glad her two kids did come out because I couldn't find too many other people of color in that audience.
Too many people of color. Al, I want to hear that again. That's
not
crazy.
To mention that that was the least diverse audience I've ever seen an announcement like this made in my life. I looked around. I was glad her two kids did come out because I couldn't find too many other people of color in that audience.
Huh. And folks, I'm looking at the picture too because I didn't see a lot of, I didn't see no black people but her kids in at that nomination. So Trump do have some explaining to do as to why, you know, we are whitewashing everything here. That's the reason why the country is on edge now. Let's go to, let me see. The problem is that we know that her rulings are going to be very, very extremely controversial. You know, they see when you basically criticize the government, they always talk about this right and left stuff. It has nothing to do with no right or no left. It's all about what you're doing to average people, you know, that are black, the problem. You see, that's the problem. There is no good case for confirming Amy Coney Barrett. This is what CNN says. If recent history is any indicator, one can no longer be sure what to anticipate in a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing for a Supreme Court nominee. Immediately, as a vocal fan of Judge Amy Coney Barrett, I feared the worst on the opening day of the confirmation hearings. And yet, ironically, we heard far more about the possibility of Americans losing their health care insurance under a Justice Barrett than about Barrett's qualification to sit on the Supreme Court, ironic because many constitutional law experts in recent weeks, right, left, center, have said that the high court cases challenged the Affordable Care Act. This term has a little chance of success. With or without, with or without a Justice Barrett. Okay, and as the years pass, reliance interest, the legal interest that institutions and individuals have the court maintaining stability in its decision making on the ACA will grow as institutions and individuals structure that the affairs on existence, a concern that would undoubtedly shape Barrett's view of future challenges as well. Get a strength of Judge Barrett's record, perhaps playing the fear of the American public who aren't likely to reading commentaries on upcoming Supreme Court terms but are voting soon. What's the Democrats' only play? Well, almost of only play, of course, we have also heard plenty from the Democrats in recent weeks about how there ought not to be a confirmation hearing this close to Election Day because the GOP-controlled Senate denied Judge Merrick Garland one in the 2016 election year. Now, remember, Judge Merrick Garland that was chosen, I think, by Obama, they basically was just, the Republicans was like, man, we should do this until election is over and blah, blah, blah. The truth is that the Democrats would have seen down if Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg had retired before President Barack Obama finally year in office. That she chose not to is not the GOP's fault. It's not Judge Garland's, and it sure isn't Judge Barrett's. One cannot help but conclude by the action on the part of the Democrats on Monday that case against confirming Judge Barrett is a very poor one. And indeed, let's face it, her qualifications are impeccable. Her originalist philosophy is now quite mainstream, and her dispassionate and self-possessed temperament, the very best one could hope for in a judge. Let's stop right there. Look here, we don't care about these nice things that you're saying about this woman. The ideal is that it's too many white people on the judgeship. That's my problem with you. When are we going to have some black judges appointed by Trump? When are we going to get more black judges appointed by him? That's what I'm worried about. We need more black judges. We need more Hispanics judges, more women. We got a lot of women judges, but they're not African-American. They're not Hispanic. What are we doing about putting more of a diverse judge on the table? We are not basically doing that. Somebody get me to understand what the hell is going on here. But nobody don't understand the ideal that, listen, the Supreme Court is not going to rule now relating to black issues no more. Let's just stop talking about civil rights for a moment. What about black issues here? Because, like I said, they denied my case in Henderson versus U.S. Security Associates. It was supposed to go back to the federal court for further proceedings. And this is what we're talking about. This is the realities of black folks to be denied justice here. That's the reason why writing the book, That's My Name, Not My Profession, How My Pro Se Case Got Destroyed by Rogue Judges, that's coming out next year. Read of my case of 18-14739. And you'll see why these circuit court judges that's coming out of law school now will have been at a law school, will have been working at these law firms. A lot of them do not know anything about ruling in case law, and they should not be a judge. They're incapacitated. Their ideal of real justice is not there for the average American black person specifically. These folks are going to undermine the real legitimacy of a real case that's significant to the people. Just like we saw the judicial estoppel cases in Maine versus New Hampshire of 2001, that down to the circuit court judges are all off the wall as to how that's supposed to be applied to many of bankruptcy cases. They're all over the place with it. And the Supreme Court is not going to go back to basically understand what the circuit courts are doing. So this is the reason why this Amy Coney Barrett is a problem for us. She's a problem for you. She's a problem for me. She's a problem for the whole damn country because she's too conservative. And to say that Trump has been picking people that is nonpartisan is a lie. They are almost, well, not almost, all of them are conservative. No such thing as a nonpartisan person that is sitting there on the court and is making these vile and these foolish and disrespectful rulings that has nothing to do with real case law. Even judges that, like I said, who's been on the bench longer than them are looking at these new judges that Trump is appointing sideways. Somebody talk black to me. Somebody let make this make sense. And thank you very, very much, family, for listening in. I hope everybody have a wonderful day. Yes, indeed. Join me tomorrow when the Lawyer Henderson Show. Come on at 7 o'clock, same time, same place. Adios, amigos. And Dana Cora.
Come on in, y'all. Come on in. Oh, my God, man. Okay. Yes, indeed. How's everybody? We got a lot to pack here. We talked about the Supreme Court nominee. be Coney Barrett. And we also going to be talking about a little bit more about the Ice Cube contract with Black America. And we also, family, going to be talking about Daniel Cameron and his lying of the Breonna Taylor's case, where he basically lied on the jurors. Don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, my book, Foolish American Politics, Let's Discuss the Issues, is at Barnes & Noble. It's online wherever videos and, books is sold, whether it be Barnes & Noble or Books a Million, Walmart, every place. Go and check out Foolish American Politics. Don't forget to hit that thumbs up button. Hit that thumbs up button. And we also have the link where you can also, contribute to the podcast as well. We'll have that later on once you review the video again. So go ahead and hit that thumbs up button if you're on live. And don't forget to subscribe to my channel. So the Lawyer Henson Show is live. We'll go ahead and play the music here so it can be official.
right there.